Hey, y'all, it's Bo Haig. Thank you so much for listening to this message today. If you have questions, please contact us at 580-216-6427. And we hope that God uses this message to change your life.
All right, well, my name is Blake Overton. Unfortunately, I'm not preaching today, so don't worry. Bo and Heather are gone. If you guys haven't noticed yet, they're down in Amarillo for the Ranch Rodeo, so be sure and let them know that you missed them. Today we're going to watch Jason Taylor. We've got a video of him for our sermon today, and Bo's got a little prelude into it. So here's our video, if Matt can get it going.
Good morning, everybody. We are so excited that you're here this morning. Heather and I are having a great time at the WRCA Finals, and we wanted to let you know that we are thinking of you. We are praying for you this morning. I want to introduce our speaker. His name's Jason Taylor. He pastors the Bar None Cowboy Church in Tatum, Texas. He does an awesome job. He's been to our church before, and he's going to deliver a great message for you today. So enjoy this message entitled, Bigger Ain't Always Better.
About 2 weeks ago, I got a phone call, and I got a buddy that's got a little set of heifers, and they're calving, and every morning he'll call me. Between 7 and 7:30, they're pretty close. They live. They're right down the road from his house, and he goes and checks them every morning. And just about every morning, he calls me between 7 and 7:30. And whenever I look at his name, I say a quick prayer: "Oh Lord, don't let there be no problems today." Because anytime you're calving out a set of heifers, your stress level's a little bit up because they're heifers. They don't know what they're doing. It's their first time. You don't want to hurt nobody or kill nobody or nothing. So far been a lot of good luck, and I've been like, man, that's great. And he calls me, and I a couple weeks ago, and I looked at my phone, and I said, Lord, don't let there be no problem today. And I answered it, talked to him, and he said, you got a problem. I said, why? Wait, time out. Why do I have the problem? And he said, well, I have two old cows. The church has got an old cow. Y'all remember that calf that we drug in here years ago and branded? That calf's a cow now, and she's turned out in that pasture, and I got a little old Corianni cow that's turned out in that pasture. He said, your little old Corianni cow had a calf, and I said, that can't be a problem. She's six or so, and she's done this several times. I mean, there's 42 heifers that are the problem that don't know what they're doing, ain't never done it before. This old cow, she ain't going to be no problem. Why is there a problem with her? He said, well, she got a good healthy calf, a good-looking little old red calf, but she got one heck of a big old udder. She's got an udder like a dairy cow. I mean, this little old cow will raise a calf that's three-fourths her size in 8 months every time. I mean, she's a calf raiser. You know what I'm saying? And I said, well, okay. And he said, but her teats are, they're about to explode. They're so big, and that calf can't get a hold of them. He said, I'm telling you, this calf ain't nursed yet. And he's probably, he was born last night, so he's a day old, maybe 2 days old. We're going to have to get this calf some milk. I mean, they were just too big. He just couldn't get his mouth around it. I said, all right. I said, I'll go catch her. And I said, man, that old cow's gentle. And he said, well, you probably don't need nothing. Just pull a trailer out there and catch him, and she'll probably follow you right up in there. And I said, yeah, she probably will. She's a little old cow. She don't weigh 1,000 pounds. Her horns have been tipped. So she's going to be mad that I grab her baby, but it ain't like it. She can do a whole lot to you. You know what I'm saying? So it's not really a whole lot to worry about. And I learned a long time ago, as long as you keep her calf between you and her, she won't really ever hit you. She'll just blah, blah, blah. So I ease out there, and I drop my trailer, and I drive my pickup a little bit closer because I'm lazy and don't like to walk. And I get within 20 yards of the calf, and he's laying down, and the cow's standing over him. I'm like, yeah, you can tell he ain't nursed. I mean, it's just not good. So I ease over there, and my trailer's about 100 yards that way. My pickup's about 20 yards that way. Calf's right there. I just scoop him up before he can get up. I grab that calf, and, of course, he bellers and bawls, and now I got to make a decision, which I didn't think very properly because I don't have a tie rope in my hand. I'm like, now do I throw him in the pickup? If I throw him in the pickup, I'm going to throw him in the cab of the pickup. Y'all know the first thing he's going to do. That takes forever to get baby calf crap out of your truck, I'm just telling you. So I'm like, okay, I'm not throwing him in the front seat of the pickup. So I just start kind of jogging, jiggy-trotting toward my trailer, and I got this calf in my hand. And sure enough, old cow, she's and she's right. I mean, she comes right up behind me, and I just turn around a couple times and, you know, put that baby calf, and she's, and then I keep on going. And what I didn't factor into my whole situation was the reaction of 42 first-time heifers that they don't have a clue what is going on, and half of them don't know that they're pregnant, half of them have babies on the ground, and all of them think I got their baby. So there's 42 of these heifers, and they're just all around me, and I'm like, and they don't know if they want to, and some of them are bucking, they think we're having a party, they're just, bah, bah, you know, but you know, I mean, and they're just swarming me, and I'm like, God. Well, I'm 43 and half fat, so by the time I jog 100 yards with this 70-pound calf with a 1,000-pound mama and 42 fellow females swarming me, I'm just about to pass out. I mean, I'm about done. I mean, and my legs are like Jell-O, you hear me? I'm thinking, oh, I'm not going to make it. And I'm wondering, where is all the romanticism in being a cowboy? And it's out the window, Jack. There's nothing romantic about this. This is all ugly. So anyway, I get to the trailer, and I left the trailer gate open, and I just kind of chunk him up in there and grab my breath. I mean, it happened to be a tie rope on the trailer, so I grab a tie rope, my tie foot up, tie front foot to the trailer. There they are. She's this little old cow, she and her clan, they circled that trailer about twice, bawling, blah, blah, and she stopped at the back gate, and I'm standing there, you know, begging for all that free oxygen that I can't seem to get enough of. And she literally did just what Hunt said. She went right up in that trailer to get to her baby. And as soon as she went up in that trailer, I slammed the gate, walked over and got my pickup, and I took them home. I had to get that cow and calf to a smaller place where I could help that calf begin to nurse. The message today, the title is Bigger Ain't Always Better. Now, everybody likes bigger. And a lot of times, bigger is better. I'm not saying it ain't better. I'm just saying it ain't always better. This cow has a bigger udder and more milk, and it will be way better. But if it's so big that baby calf can't get a hold of it and get it in its stomach and get to growing and get to living, it ain't better. You hear me? Having her on a big, nice green pasture with plenty of grass and a bunch of friends to hang out with, that's better than being in a small pen or up a chute. But I can't milk her and get her where that calf can nurse if she's way out there in the middle of that big pasture. So bigger ain't always better. I had to get her smaller so I could get it down to where we could handle it. And while I'm running and losing all my oxygen, and that's how God starts, that's usually when he starts talking to me, whenever I'm to the point of death. And this message, that's why I took that picture. I'm like, there's a message in here somewhere. So I take that picture. Then I shot a video. So I get them to the house. Show the first video. I get them to the house. That's the second video. I get them to the house and I unload them in this pen. That's the first video. And I'm like, look at her. There's the mama cow. And she wants nothing more than, just watch her body. She wants to protect that calf. She's gonna. She wants to give that calf everything it needs. That's her baby. And that baby needs what's in that mama's inner udder. I mean, she needs it. She's looking over him. Now, I'm getting close enough that she's just about frustrated with me. So we do a little dirt pawing. And I'm like, okay, let me back up just a touch. But do y'all see how big her bag is? And now you're talking about can raise a calf. My goodness. Everything that calf will need for the next 8 months, it's in there. And it will do its job. If we could just get it out of there and into that cute little face that y'all are about to see when he mounds that corner. Ain't he cute? Oh, you women, y'all love cute things. If I can just get him, but that poor little old thing, he ain't got a chance. Because it's too big. And bigger ain't always better. So I put him in the chute. Now go to video two. I put him in the chute. I began to milk her. Because I'm going to get, now you're talking about talented. I'm filming while I'm milking. This is all it took. All it took for me to do was to just milk that first front quarter out about halfway, and then now roll into video three, and all of a sudden, that little baby it's getting all it needs. I mean, it's happy, 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 happy. I mean, it's, you know, so here's the deal. Everything that calf needed to get new life, to sustain its new life, to begin to grow, to be healthy, to get stronger, it was all right there within that cow. But it was too big for that baby calf to get its mouth around, to get it in, to take it in. So all I had to do was help a little bit. I just had to help a little bit. Now listen, as a cowman, I would have not been able to sleep knowing there was a baby calf out there dying, and I was too stinking lazy and sorry to go get it and do that. It took 10 minutes. It took me longer to figure out how to film it than it did for me to do it. I mean, I'm saying it didn't take nothing. It didn't take, but I would have, I mean, what kind of a cowman would I have been if I'd have been okay to just let that calf starve to death with everything it needed right there, with everything it ever, that it wanted right there. And think about the cow. That cow knows it has everything it needs. That cow wants that baby to get it. I mean, that cow's pressuring up. I mean, you know what I'm saying? She needs some relief. And if that cow loses that calf, she'll spend the next weeks hunting it. Every time a calf balls, she'll go, maybe that's the one, and she'd run to it, right? I mean, this cow would be grieved, and her bag would be even worse. Just so, you know what I'm saying? I mean, all they needed was just a little help, because bigger ain't always better, and somebody needed to make it a little bit smaller. That calf just needed a shot of good milk. You know, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, like newborn babies long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respects to salvation. I'll tell you something. I guarantee you there are so many Christians that are born again, and listen, this right here has all that they need in it. I spent several years trying to read it and going, I just don't get it. It's too big. I can't get nothing out of it. I want to read it. I want to read this, and I want to learn something. I want to have something out of here. So I try, and I would get nothing. Because I believed it was too big for me. I couldn't get it. I couldn't understand it. I couldn't grasp it. I was reading the wrong Bible. They do make Bibles for lesser intelligent people. So I found me one. And then, you know what? I mean, AFCC so believes that this is a problem. We built a Bible. This Bible called Learning the Ropes. It is a simple version of God's Word. We didn't rewrite it, but we incorporated some teachings and some thoughts that help us realize, listen, just begin to eat on it. Just begin to take it in, and it'll do the work. So here's where I'm at today. Whether you're a born-again, brand-new calf, or you've been born again for 15, 20 years, and you've never, if you're sitting there and you're thinking, I don't really understand. I want to, but I just don't, I can't get it. I want what that Bible has. I want to read it. I mean, if you've ever had the thought cross your mind when Amy Jo's sharing or when John's preaching and you go, man, I wish I could get that. Listen to me. You can. You can. And our job is to help make it small enough for you to get your mouth around it so that you can get it in you, so that it can begin to do what it will do in you. That's our job. That's our job. So that's what we want to do. That's what God's like. You know what? What kind of Christian will let another Christian starve to death when all they need is 15 or 20 minutes of your time to help them get a little bit of God's good word in them to begin to, for them to live? What kind of a Christian can sleep knowing that you know people that you know needs God's word and you're too stinking lazy to help them get it broke down and get it small enough where they can get it in them? You as sorry a Christian as I would have been, as sorry a cowman if I'd have let that baby calf die. Now, every one of you in here thought that baby calf was cute, and every one of you in here went, oh, oh. And every one of us in here, even the men, felt a little bit of, oh, that's so good when they seen that calf nursing, didn't you? Every one of you kind of, I don't want you to get all gushy and sissified, but even the men went, that's good. Because you know what that is? That's $1,000 right there, Jack. That's some profit. That right there. I mean, there's good, you hear me? Benefit, there's good. Let me tell you something. I'm not trying to be hateful. I'm not trying to be mean. But if you are a Christian and you've never helped nobody begin to get God's word in them, you're a pretty dadgum sorry Christian. And by golly, I don't want to be a preacher of a sorry bunch of folks. And I don't want to be a sorry preacher. So I'm telling you, you know people that want to understand God's word. They want to read it. They want to get it. They want to get a little of it in them, and they're frustrated, and they can't. And the minute you hear one of them say, I tried, then you know what? You just need to make it a little bit smaller. You need to care enough about them to go catch them, to haul them in a trailer, to get them in a smaller area, to get them. That's why we have a small groups team ministry, because it's bigger ain't always better. Because the small group setting, you get shown how to get a hold of it. You get it broke down so that you can begin to chew on it. You know what I'm saying? So it's important. And each one of us are responsible for people. If you're a Christian, you're not a Christian just for you. You're a Christian for the people that you come in contact with, for the lives that need you to help them break it down. And I got home late Friday evening, and I was a little tired. I'd been in Austin for 2 days or a day and a half. And anyway, I thought, you know, we didn't have no kids, so I thought I'm going to sleep late today. Me and Christy went with me. She was really knocked out, and so she's sleeping good. And I thought, no kids are coming home till noonish on Saturday. So I'm thinking, I'm gonna not get up until I have to get up. That was at 3:40 Saturday morning. He would not let me sleep. So I thought, man, and it was cool. It was cool Saturday morning. So I was like, man, it's kind of cool. And I thought, what the heck am I gonna do? I've been preaching and praying and hugging and being for all evening. I mean, I don't have it in me right now. I don't want to get in the Word. I don't want to sit and write. I don't want to think. So I didn't. He gave me permission. He said, he replays stuff for me. You know what I'm saying? And he replayed a small, tiny clip from Lonesome Dove. And it was whenever Augustus was sitting out by the fire cooking biscuits that morning as the sun come up and Woodrow come walking out, putting on his shirt. Y'all remember that? If you don't remember that, get out now. And you guys that are at the door, hit them on their way out. Anyway, you know, and Woodrow walks out and he goes, "Expect you've been up all night reading the good book." And y'all remember what Augustus said? He says, "Well, it's hard to have fun in a place like this, but I do my best." I said, "Shoot, this may be my last good cool morning." So I went and got my fire ring thing, and I drug it over there and I lit me a fire, and I sit there and I drink coffee, and I just sit by the fire, and I just enjoyed some time with my Lord. It is hard to have fun in a place like this, but I do my best. And it didn't cost me no money. Wasn't nobody asking me for nothing. I didn't have to know nothing. I didn't have to think nothing. I just could be. And I just sat there. And I watched the sun come up. And about 7:15, I was so full of coffee and wired up. I thought, if I don't get some food in me. So I went and cooked some breakfast over that open fire. And about just good daylight, the Lord reminded me of him feeding the 5,000. So I picked it up and I read it. And he showed me how bigger ain't always better. And how our Lord, here's something that you don't hear. Our Lord is a problem solver. And there ain't very many. Now, there's problem finders and problem pointers, but not many problem solvers. And how many times have you been taught and preached about the incredible ability Jesus Christ had to be a problem solver? It was amazing. It was amazing the problems that were brought to him, and he solved them. So I'm like, man, I believe we have a problem. There's too many of us. Now, today we're light, but usually we're packed full and got, I mean, and I can't minister there. I can't, there's no way me or John or, I mean, it's like, I'm not griping, but Lord, how do we, I'm just going to tell you the truth. I want to be here for a long time. I don't want to not be a pastor. But I know I don't have the ability to be a pastor to this many people, with this many issues and with this much demand And I also want to be, I want to change our country. I don't want to just say it needs to be changed. I want to be in it, doing it. So I know at least what I'm saying is that there's a problem. There's only 24 hours in a day, 7 days in a week, and me. And God's showing me, well, okay, great. I'm glad you brought me your problem. Now I'll tell you how to fix it. And he showed me something. And I'm going to show you in Luke. And I had to borrow these glasses. And because I wrote it in my Bible, I want to show you how awesome Luke is. Luke 9, 12 through 13. And I'm going to have to read it because I got notes here. But it's on the screen. And if you got your Bible, you can read it. Luke 9. I know it's in this Bible somewhere. I didn't pull it out. 12 through 13. Now, the day was ending, and the 12 came and said to him, "Send the crowd away that they may go into the surrounding villages and countryside and find lodging and get something to eat, for here we are in a desolate place." But he said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless perhaps we go and buy food for all of these people." Now, what did the disciples do? They brought him a problem. You hear me? Now, there was 5,000 men. Now, I did a little digging, and that's they counted men, which usually meant 5,000 households. They didn't count the women and children. So there could have been upwards of 20,000 people listening to Jesus. And he'd been doing it a long time. It says we are up in the day. Here's the truth. The 12 disciples were standing to the side going, "Will he ever shut up? He is going to preach till midnight. I mean, and I'm starving to death." I'm just telling you the truth. This is where the disciples was at. Now, the people ain't said, "Hey, we're hungry." They didn't say nothing. The people were being fed. The 12 disciples were over here going, "We got a problem." I can tell you this much. As a pastor, those of y'all that bring me the problems, you're not getting fed. You're so worried about finding problems. And you never bring me the solution. You always just want to point out the problems. Here's my new answer. Great, I'm glad God showed you a problem. He'll show you the answer. Go find it and fix it. What did Jesus say? You feed them. Can you just think about it? Here comes the 12 of them. Hey, you've been doing good now. And man, you've been preaching. Oh boy, it's been flowing. But man, I mean, it's pushing 12:25. I mean, dang, Jesus, they hungry. They hungry. And Jesus says, "We'll feed them." Just think about it. What do you think they did? I guarantee every one of them went, "Oh, he's lost it. You go tell him he's lost it." No, I ain't. You go tell. You know what I'm saying? I want you to know that all 12 of them were together when they brought in this problem. And Jesus said to all 12 of them, "You go feed them," right? Then they come back in the very next verse. Why is it I always lose myself? The very next verse, it says, "For there were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, have them sit down to eat in groups of about 50 each. They did so and had them all sit down." Now he's also a mathematician. Did you see what he just did? He took a big, huge, massive number and he divided it. He said, "Okay, look here. Your problem is not that they're hungry. The problem is there's too many of them in one watt, so divide them." Right now, you know, last Sunday I said something that was a little bit, not controversial, but a little bit characteristic of me and not characteristic of most preachers. I said, if you're just sitting here soaking up air and enjoying a cushiony chair, you might try to find another church where you could serve and do something at. Y'all remember me saying that? And I'm in it, by the way. I'm great that you come and get fed. Listen, there's so many of us that just need to be fed and encouraged, and that's what we're here to do. But I mean, if you've been fed and encouraged and you can't find where to work, you need to be start asking, "Lord, is this not where I need to be? Because I want to serve." What did Jesus say? "You feed them." Well, they didn't have no. They're like, they come back scratching their head. They said, "We got 5 loaves and 2 fish." They're just, "No way, no." I can't. Listen, we never have enough. We always say, I don't have enough. You will never have enough. Okay? Just accept that. You'll never have enough. He says, "Well, I tell you what, dude. Let's bust them up. Set them in groups, 50 to 100. So they did. Bigger ain't always better. We busted them up in small groups. Y'all think Saddleback Mountain Church was the one that started small groups? Jesus did a long time ago. Right? So he busts them up in small groups. In verse 16, then he took the five loaves and the two fish. He looked up to heaven. He blessed them and broke them. And he kept giving them to the disciples to set before the people. Now, here's where God really showed me something. Who had the five loaves and the two fish? No. The disciples had them. And what did he say? Give me what you got. It ain't much. In comparison, now think about it. In comparison to feeding 5,000 men with all their family, you got five loaves. You ain't got much. You don't bring much to the table. You hear me? But listen. He said, just give me what you got. He still says that same thing today. You listen, I know you ain't got much. You ain't got to convince me you ain't got enough. I know you ain't. You sure ain't got to convince your spouse. She knows, he knows, you ain't got near enough. But listen, if you just give what you got to Jesus, he'll take it, he'll bless it, and he'll break it. That's where you quit, right there. He'll take it, he'll bless it, and he'll break it. Now, we got a prime example in our church of that. Miss Sandy started the children's ministry 7 years ago with her and a couple more. And they built a children's ministry that ministered to kids here for 7 years. And God said, all right, there's more kids, there's more stuff, there's more for you to do, there's other things for you to do. You ain't got much, Miss Sandy, but give me that back. And he took it, and he's broke it. Most of us won't let go of it because, by golly, it's mine now. It's mine. But listen, you ain't got much anyway. But whatever you got, if you'll bring it and give it to him, he will bless it. If you give it to him, he will bless it. I just realized I closed my Bible and it's going to take me forever to find where I was at. See how Satan works? But if you'll give it to him, he will bless it. And then he will break it. Don't be afraid to let him break it. I do not care what it is. Don't be afraid to let Jesus break it. Don't break it yourself. Don't break it for your spouse. Y'all quit it now. I don't read your minds. Don't break it for your spouse. They don't. You're not Jesus. Give it to Jesus. Let Jesus break it. And then, let me find where I was at. See, this is where you need an editor that goes, pause. What book was I in? It's Mark, Matthew, Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Here I was. Here I am. He took the five loaves and the two fish, and he looked to heaven, and he blessed them, and he broke them. And he kept giving to them. You got to get the emphasis right on this. He kept giving them to the disciples to set before the people. Now, here's how good of a mathematician Jesus was. Five loaves of bread, two fish, right? Disciples handed it to him. How many disciples is there? 12. We got a problem here. He took the five loaves and the two fish, and when he broke the loaves and he handed them back, how much did he hand back? 2 fish and 10 loaves. Everybody should be serving. There's nobody that shouldn't serve. Judas served the people. Now listen to me. Listen to the last scripture. And they all ate and were satisfied. And the broken pieces which they had left over were picked up. How many basketfuls? 12 basketfuls. I can listen to me. If you're not satisfied, I can now tell you from the word why. Because you haven't given it to Jesus, you haven't let him break it, or you ain't serving. Because he broke the bread so that there would be enough for every one of them to serve. Do you follow me? I never seen that before. So if you're not satisfied, do you know who had the leftovers? Do you know who got the baskets full? Tell me who got them. The disciples. The disciples. Miss Sandy, how full are you today? Say it. Say how full you are. Are you running over yet? Do you have an abundance yet? Gosh almighty. Do you see the importance of just giving him? You ain't got enough. You ain't got enough. But if what you got, you'll give to the hand of Jesus. Allow him to bless it. Allow him to break it. And allow him to give what you brought to others so that they can serve. all of us would have so much, we would have leftovers for the week. All of us would. Here's the great, this ain't even part of the sermon, but here's, I read this morning because you go on and you don't have to follow me, James, they'll trust me. In 18, he says, and it happened that while he was praying alone, the disciples were with him, and he questioned him, saying, who do the people say that I am? Listen to me, this is good. Who do the people say that I am? And then answered him and said, John the Baptist, others say Elijah, but others, the one of the prophets, the old, has risen again. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said, you are Christ of God. Peter knew who he was. Jesus went on to say that man didn't reveal this to you, but God did. If you haven't been revealed just how amazing Jesus is, then just go right back to the bread and the five loaves and the two fish and quit telling Jesus you ain't got enough. Quit telling Jesus, I wish I could, but I can't. What are we going to do with them, Lord? What am I going to do? Put all you got in Jesus' hand. Allow him to bust it, bless it and bust it, and give you back part of it, and let him give part of it away. And then as you serve, you will realize the abundant life that he wants you to have. And when everybody, listen to me, not some of your people, not a few people with you, when everybody is satisfied, you'll still have a basket full of leftovers. That's when you'll go, you are the Christ. You are Jesus Christ, Lord of lords, King of kings. That's when you go, I cannot believe I'm with you. That's when you go, what a great morning by a campfire. When he shows you that. I know I ain't got enough. I know I don't. Do you know you ain't? And will you give him what you got? Will you give him what you got and allow it to be blessed and broken? It's not blessed and given back to you. It's blessed and broken and given away. And then you just serve. You just serve. You just serve. You just serve. Here you go. Thank you, sir. I don't know how this works, but it just keeps coming. So just get all you want. Listen, I don't know how it works. I do not know how it works. I have no idea how in the world I started sharing a little bit of stuff in 08 and in 14. I don't know how I'm still preaching. I have no idea how I get. I have no idea. But there you are. Give them that today. Okay, Lord, here's what you get. Do y'all see that? So simple. It's so simple. It's so simple. Do y'all know what I mean? Well, then ain't no need to me talk no more. Oh, y'all got it. Amen. Enough said. All in, all done, all through. Told you I could do it. You'd do it for free if you just give me a chance. Let's close in prayer. Now listen, we don't have the band because they're gone, but I want you to be in prayer for them. Part of them are still here, but them kids are on the road. Their parents is on the road. Let me tell y'all another analogy God just revealed to me. Them kids, but they were born to people. And those kids, they got some talents. And they've been blessed. Let me tell you something. If their parents don't hand them back, oh, Lord Jesus, if their parents don't hand them back and allow Jesus to bless them and break them, they won't never satisfy everything. So please don't leave here. Don't leave here thinking God's word is too big. God's word is precious, and it's the purest milk. It is the milk that you need. Do not leave here hungry. Do not leave here frustrated because I'm trying, I can't get it. There are people among you that have given all they have back to the Lord Jesus. And Jesus has said, you ain't got much of a brain, but I'll take it, bless it, and bust it wide open. You won't know how it gets there, but all of a sudden you'll have some wisdom to share. You'll be able to share how you read and how you understand, how you get. There's some here. There's so many opportunities for you to give what you got to Jesus and allow him to use it. There's the SPAR team that's going to take care of kids that have been beaten and neglected. There's the Equine Therapy team that's starting. It's going to bless so many little people's lives that are crippled. And there's so many things. The arena being built that we are going to see people saved for years and generations. There's hungry people that need to have food taken to them. There's people in the hospital that just want a hug. There's people that are dying that just want somebody to spend 30 minutes talking to them. Tell me you can't do something. What you tell me when you say I can't do something is you ain't willing to give Jesus what you got so that he can bless it and break it. Some of you are problem solvers, and we have some problems, and I don't know how to solve problems. But you have an ability. When you see an answer, don't just wait, don't just grab because I ain't seen it. Bring it. This is God's family, not mine. If you're in this church, if you're in this barn today, any problem is your problem. There is no y'all got a problem. It's all of us. We are one. We are one. And by golly, the day we ain't one, I'm done. We are one here. So please hear my words. Please hear my heart. I'm not smart, but I know all he wants you to do is bring him what you got. Quit listening to the liar and reminding yourself you ain't got enough. We all know we don't. He didn't ever say you had to have. He just said, well, bring me what you got. Quit listening to the liar that says you can't feed nobody, you can't do, you can't. You quit listening to that. Quit listening to the problem. The solution is not send them away. The solution is not call someone else. The solution is not go see somebody. The solution is within you. And the solution is Jesus Christ. And whenever he's in you and you give him what he has given you, you give him back to him, he will bless it and break it. And there'll be so much of him in you, you can feed a bunch. I hope that makes sense to somebody. Bigger ain't always better because it's dependent upon you. You need to touch somebody's life. You need to speak truth into somebody's life. You need to give what you have back to the Savior that gave it to you in the first place. He is the giver of life. He gives life. So you give your life back and watch him bless it and break it. Please don't wait no longer. Please. I'm so tired of y'all living lives that aren't satisfied. It breaks my heart. He wants you to feel satisfied. He said all of them, Harvey, were satisfied. I don't want you to leave today not satisfied. Oh.
Oh, please close your eyes and bow your heads with me, please. If you guys are here today and you're new Christians or you're not Christians yet, just because you don't understand, and even if you don't understand just a little bit, please come find me or Mike or Bo when he gets back, or fill out an orange card. We've got a lot of information, and there's a lot of people in this church that have a lot of information, Lord. And we ask that you guys would please get with us so that we can help minister to you. And to those of you who are here that are Christians today, you may be spiritually obese or what have you. We're all smart people in here, and we ask that we love for y'all to please share your gifts and share your knowledge and wisdom and your experience with some of these newer believers. And I ask that I hope that you guys can all not rest and not be content until you start giving back to God and to the church. We've got several different teams, and each team is broken down into smaller parts that would allow everybody to serve, and I hope that nobody can go to bed content with what you're doing today. I hope that everybody can see everything get broken down and to help us break it down and to make it serve our community is even better than what we've been doing so far. Father God, I thank you for everybody that's in here today, and I thank you for our pastor and everything that he does for us, and I thank you for all of our team members and all of our team leaders. Thank you for all the contributions that they've made to our church, Lord. I ask you, please speak to the new believers that have a hard time understanding, and speak to the people who haven't quite given it up to you yet because they just frankly don't understand yet. And I ask you, please help some of us who are spiritually obese, who's been too lazy or what have you, or too busy to share what we know and to share you with them, God. I ask you, please help us to be so discontent until we do share. God, I ask you please be with all of us throughout this next week, and please guide and protect us and help us to do your will. And I ask you please bless us next Sunday as we go to the two services. And I pray that we would grow by leaps and bounds, and I pray that you would please bless everything that we're doing and help us to get our building set up and our arena going, and help us to keep continuing your vision. God, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.
Thank you again for listening to this message, and we hope to see you every Sunday at the Woodward Livestock Auction at 10:30.